Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Feels like we're breaking with our format today. What's going on, Greg?
We are breaking with our format. I recently read a book that I think is so needed by the modern church that I wanted to bring it to our people. We've done 130 some odd episodes of the Q&A thing. So hopefully we've earned the right to throw a curveball occasionally. So we're throwing a little bit of a curveball. I recently read a book called Transforming Homosexuality, What the Bible Says About Sexual Orientation and Change. And this book is written by two men named Denny Burke and Heath Lambert. And I found this book so enlightening and helpful and needful that, man, I thought everybody needs to read this book. And so I thought, how can I get this out? And I believe that more people probably listen to this podcast than read our blog. So I wanted to push it out this way and to just exhort folks, look, just you got to get this book and read it. You have to. So we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. So what makes this book different than other Christian books about homosexuality?
Yeah, it's not like there aren't other books out there. There are really good Christian books on the issue, but the biggest thing that makes this book different is that there are two particular issues that it addresses and the positions that it takes on those issues that makes it different. There are a host of books out there that do the needed work of making a biblical case for why homosexuality is sinful. As the church has embraced that lifestyle over the years, I'm sorry, did I say the church or the culture?
You did say the church.
Well, the church has, because, I mean, largely, they've embraced it because the culture's embraced it. So the culture's embraced it, and the world has then pressed on the church. And as the world has pressed on the church, some in the church have begun to soften and find alternate ways of interpreting Scripture so as to accommodate that lifestyle. And so you have a lot of books out there not only defending the biblical position, but also finding an alternate way of interpreting Scripture to accommodate homosexuality. So there's a ton of books out there on it. A lot of really good ones saying, no, here's actually what the Scriptures teach, and they show that this really is not a gray area in the Bible. God's very clear. Same-sex desire and same-sex activity is ungodly. So there are a lot of books out there that do that.
So let's go into a little bit more depth how this book is different.
Okay, well, Denny Burke and Heath Lambert, they're very thankful for those other authors who have written those kinds of books, but they recognize that there is still this huge hole. And as I read their book, I agreed with them. Conservative Christians, we're convinced that homosexuality is wrong, and even those of us who are compassionate towards homosexuals, it's not that we hate homosexuals. It's not that at all. We have compassion for them, and it's not even that we see homosexuality as this terrible phenomenon that is way worse than any other sin. It's just that we believe the Bible, and we believe that the Bible is clear. So we're convinced that homosexuality is wrong. And those who struggle with same-sex attraction inside and outside the church, they've even gotten the message loud and clear. This is wrong. So it's not that there's ambiguity on the issue, especially as far as where the conservative church stands. What's largely missing is how a person can change. The really loud message coming from conservative evangelicalism is, this is an abomination, this is an abomination, this is an abomination, and let me show you all the places in Scripture where it says so. And that is true. I mean, it is an abomination. I don't disagree with that at all. But those struggling with same-sex attraction, they are left saying, okay, I hear that. I know it's an abomination, and many of them even agree with it, but they're left saying, okay, so what do I do? How do I change? Mm. And many of them, they've done everything that they can think of to change. I mean, they've read the Bible backwards and forwards, and they've memorized every verse that they think might be helpful, and they've begged God to take this from them. They don't want to be attracted to persons of the same sex. They don't. They hate it. They want to be rid of it. But all they're hearing is condemnation and no hope for change or how to change. And so, as you know, I read this book, and then in the days after I read this book, I think by God's grace, I heard a lot of Christians continuing to make the case on, you know, social media and just casual conversation. Homosexuality is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong, and I agree with that. But then it was the whole of how people can change and hope for change. That missing piece was so much more acute to me that I thought, okay, this book is needed. That's what I love about this book. It does not minimize the sinfulness of homosexuality at all. It simply goes further than other books and gives hope for change and the how of change. And the authors do so with such great humility toward other authors who haven't offered that kind of help. I mean, I wanted to find these two guys and just hug them because they wrote with such love toward people that they disagree with. And people that they disagree with who just haven't gone far enough. I mean, they just have done such a good job of writing with grace. This book is going to help believers to have a changed mindset. We need to not only hold the line that homosexuality is sin, but we need to have the compassion to boldly and lovingly extend that hope to people and say, look, change is possible. Don't listen to the world. And don't listen to your own heart and mind and body. Change is possible. In fact, if the gospel is true, and most of us listening to this podcast, we've all bet our eternities that that's the case. The gospel is true. If the gospel is true, change has to be possible. And further, every believer needs to have a rudimentary idea of how change can come to the life of somebody struggling with same-sex attraction. And that's the conviction of these two brothers. And so that's one thing that makes this book different.
Can you give us a little tidbit about the change process?
Yeah, I'll give you one little thing. I don't want to spoil the whole book, and I could never do justice to it. But one little thing that I found wonderful, many people struggling with this sin and also those trying to help them with this sin, they conceive of heterosexual desire as the goal. In other words, they think, we want to get rid of homosexual desire. We're going to get rid of that, and we want to replace it with heterosexual desire. So put off homosexual desire, put on heterosexual desire. Now, we do want to put off homosexual desire, but heterosexual desire is not the goal. Now, that may sound startling to folks, but listen to this. The Bible nowhere promotes blanket heterosexual desire. It nowhere says, Christian man, be attracted to women. Rather, it says, Christian man, be attracted to one woman on the face of the entire planet, your wife, for your entire life. Kill attraction to every other woman. Now, when I read that, I felt like that put me in solidarity with every homosexual on the planet. Because I am in the business of killing sexual desire just like homosexuals are. There is only one kind of sexual desire that's appropriate for me, and that is sexual desire for my spouse, just like a homosexual. That's what they're trying to do. They're not trying to flip to where they have a blanket desire for everyone of the opposite sex, just one person. So we want to get rid of homosexual desire. What is the put on? Well, these brothers say it's not blanket heterosexual desire. It is holiness. We want to pursue holiness. So they go into great detail on that. we're not just seeking to become heterosexuals. We want to become like Christ. And that's just one tidbit. The rest is so good. I found myself moved to worship as I read this book, particularly as these brothers applied the gospel to the change process.
So you mentioned that there was something else that made this book different from other books out there. Tell us more about that.
It has become a thing in recent years to distinguish between homosexual desire and homosexual activity, to make homosexual desire somewhat okay and homosexual activity not okay. And I don't know the motive. It's possible that some have sought to ease the pressure on those having such a hard time dealing with same-sex attraction. It certainly isn't easy dealing with that problem. And so if we can encourage these brothers and sisters that the desire is okay as long as they don't act on those desires, then we can assuage some of the anguish, perhaps. And so long articles, books have been written approaching this issue and taking that position. It's okay to have the desire, you just can't act on it. I really appreciate Burke and Lambert. They hold the biblical line very compassionately, but very clearly, that same-sex attraction is sinful. Some have argued that it is not a sin to be tempted. Well, there are nuances there, and these brothers do a masterful job of navigating those, and in my opinion, make a very compelling case that just as it is not okay for a woman to desire to have sex with a man who's not her husband, it is not okay for a man to desire to have sex with another man. Sexual desire has the same God-given boundary as does sexual activity, and that is monogamous heterosexual marriage. And I'll say that in their dealing with that issue, they give the same hope and path for change as they do in the other section that I've talked about. So their approach to the issue of sexual orientation is not a condemnation of people, but it's actually a pathway to hope.
Wow.
And people struggling with same-sex attraction, those who want to help them should actually find their position on sexual orientation to be a very hopeful thing and helpful to us. So I loved it.
Anything else you'd have us know about the book?
I would just appeal to everyone. This is a very easy read. It's just over 100 pages. They don't waste any space. There is no filler in this book. Read it for your own edification. Read this book for your ability to be used in the kingdom. Read this book to be able to offer a word of hope and not only condemnation on this issue. Homosexuality, it is sinful, but our God is mighty to save, and we must be prepared to show people how he does that. So I would encourage all of us to settle in our hearts that we are not going to condemn a sin that we are not prepared to help someone deal with. This book will prepare us to do that work.
It's really helpful.
Yeah. The book, again, it's called Transforming Homosexuality, What the Bible Says About Sexual Orientation and Change. It's by Denny Burke and Heath Lambert.
Yeah, go pick it up. We hope you found this helpful. Until next time.
All right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.